This audio chapter is licensed with a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License, with permission granted by the authors and narrators. This license enables reusers to distribute, remix, adapt, and build upon the material in any medium or format for non-commercial purposes only, and only so long as attribution is given to the creator.
Higher Education for Good: Teaching and Learning Futures. Edited by Laura Chernovich and Catherine Cronin. Chapter 16, A Design Justice Approach to Universal Design for Learning, Perspectives from the Global South. Written by Alea Ramprasad Banwari, Philip Dambisia, Benedict Kumalo, and Kristen Van Tonder. Read by Alea Ramprasad Banwari, Philip Dambisia, and Benedict Kumalo.
Abstract. This chapter focuses on the issue of exclusion in higher education and how to promote inclusivity by implementing Universal Design for Learning, or UDL, principles within a larger social and design justice context. The chapter critically analyzes the strengths and challenges of a UDL approach within a Global South context, highlighting how social and design justice can be attained by focusing on broad conceptions of access and equity. The chapter documents the experiences of four postgraduate students in their roles as Educational Technology Advisors, or ETAs, at the University of Cape Town, outlining collaborative insights arising from the authors' varied positionalities and disciplinary backgrounds. Friedman, 1998, Kim, 2016. The chapter seeks to offer a challenge to established epistemological paradigms that regard the core nature of knowledge as impartial and absolute, as well as to catalyze more significant insights into inclusive, accessible, and socioculturally responsive education practices in higher education. Introduction. It is long established that formal education, in its role to meet the needs of the nations within which it is situated, can be as exclusionary as it can be liberating and empowering. Bowie, 2012, Khalid and Peterson, 2016, Stayat, 2005. Interwoven with the social, cultural, political, and economic dynamics of societies and the world at large, education and its exclusionary mechanisms extend beyond the physical structures of teaching and learning. Issues such as perpetuated language barriers and ableism permeate the fabric of higher education, or HE. Educational exclusion impedes a student's learning experience, the direct consequence of socioeconomic conditions occurring outside of the academic realm. Said, 2003. Being unheard and underrepresented can cause students to feel alienated in their educational journey. In this chapter, we consider UDL in the broader context of design justice and social justice. South Africa faces many challenges in the HE sector due to rising inequality, lack of stable access to electricity and other services, and high data costs, amongst many others. Historically, open quote, the university, close quote, in South Africa as an institution of HE has been systemically exclusionary by perpetuating practices, values, and beliefs aimed at helping to further the interests of colonialists and presently, the Global North. Brodkin et al., 2011. This extends into the realm of digital colonialism practices, in which institutions in the Global North develop much of the content that is utilized in the Global South. This is often done without consultation or contextualization of who this content will be taught to and under what circumstances. The reasons that knowledge generated in the global north is dominant are multiple, sometimes including the cost of materials and the lack of equivalent materials in the global south. Itself perhaps a byproduct of the reach that material generated in the global north has historically had. Unfortunately, the result remains the same. Such practices implicitly privilege knowledge generated in the global north instead of knowledge generated in the global south. Adam, 2020. A social justice approach may aid in highlighting and then addressing these exclusionary practices. Social justice, design justice, and universal design for learning. Social justice can be framed as fairness in distributing wealth, resources, and opportunities. Fraser, 2005. The economic challenge of access to technology for some students, in conjunction with the aforementioned cultural issue of privileged epistemologies and the political issue of neocolonialism, can be galvanizing points to explore curriculum design and, by extension, design justice. Understood as an, open quote, ethical praxis of world-making, end quote. Escobar, 2018, page 21. Design often reproduces existing hegemonic worldviews, which can silence marginalized communities and different ways of being. Escobar, 2018. There have been considerable strides made towards addressing this exclusion through better integration of technologies and more epistemologically driven means, such as Achille Mbembe's concept of the decolonial pluriversity. Reinders, 2019. A decolonial pluriversity is a space where a multitude of knowledge systems can exist on equal footing through dialogue, allowing for greater accessibility and a greater diversity of thought. Mbembe, 2015. It is impossible to achieve a decolonial pluriversity without addressing the underlying structures that prevent transformation from taking place. Luckett and Shea, 2017. We argue that to achieve decolonial pluriversity, one must be cognizant of existing inequities, which manifest through curriculum design and dissemination in addition to socioeconomic and political equities. Only once we acknowledge existing inequities can we genuinely aim to combat ongoing disparities. The implementation of design justice can be used to bring this change about. Boyden et al., 2012. Design justice brings to light how the design of objects, systems, and structures affect the production and distribution of risks, harms, and benefits among various people. Costanza Chock, 2020. Design justice approaches can ensure a more equitable distribution of a design's benefits and burdens in a manner that promotes accessibility, thus allowing for more meaningful participation in design decisions and subsequent proceedings. Accessibility, or the ease of access to information, services, or knowledge, is critical to design justice in HE. A curriculum that empowers all people, strengthens societal dynamics, and addresses local needs should be the norm. Though a global commitment toward inclusive education exists, ways to actualize it are still being sought. UDL can be one step towards this commitment. Carissa, 2022. Universal Design for Learning has gained international attention as a promising framework for reducing barriers to education and developing equitable, quality learning for all. Mackenzie and Dalton, 2020, Mackenzie et al., 2021, Zhang and Zhao, 2019. The goal of UDL is to design educational experiences that allow all students to match their unique ways of learning to varied modes of engagement, information representation, and expression of learning. Cast, 2018. Mackenzie and Dalton, 2020. Originating from disability accommodations in primary and secondary education settings, its proponents claim that it can also improve learning and inclusion for all students in HE settings. CAST 2018. Inclusive practices are needed for all learners, regardless of learning needs, socioeconomic status, and socio-political standing. It is envisaged that the UDL framework and its underpinning principles can enable design justice through intentionally redesigned courses for accessibility, equity, and inclusivity. Such an approach to course redesign may serve as a vehicle to actualize this. For example, providing well-described video lectures with closed captioning and transcripts ensures that students with hearing and visual impairments can engage meaningfully in lessons. Our theoretical framework utilizes Nancy Fraser's concept of social justice, which contains three dimensions: economic, cultural, and political. These three dimensions speak to three key issues to help address injustice: redistribution, open bracket, economic, close bracket, recognition, open bracket, cultural, close bracket, and representation, open bracket, political, close bracket. In an educational context, redistribution refers to the equitable distribution of resources, including monetary resources for access to university. Recognition refers to ensuring equal access to a rich and intensive curriculum for students of all backgrounds. Representation refers to increased mechanisms for marginalized voices to be heard. For example, there should be a forum or platform for students who are differently abled to be heard. Fraser, 2005, Keddie, 2012. Furthermore, recognition means all stakeholders in the HE sector must be seen as, open quote, full partners in social interaction, end quote, allowing for increased participation, Fraser, 2000, of lecturers, students, external examiners, and representatives of government, industry, and civil society. Recognition and representation feed into one another. If we can provide recognition to marginalized communities in HE sectors and give them a platform to be heard, we can enable representation. Caden, 2012. Social justice must be grounded in design justice. Design justice is defined by Costanza Chock, 2020, as a framework for analysis of how design distributes benefits and burdens between various groups of people. Design justice is also a growing community of practice that aims to ensure a more equitable distribution of design's benefits and burdens, meaningful participation in design decisions, and recognition of community-based, indigenous, and diasporic design traditions, knowledge, and practices. Page 23. UDL acts as a framework for a more equitable distribution of the design benefits of curriculum and learning design.
See Figure 16.1. Figure 16.1, locating social justice within UDL, design justice, and cultural justice. In Figure 16.1, a nested diagram visually represents the conceptual framework underpinning this approach. At the core is Universal Design for Learning, CAST 2018, signifying its pivotal role in creating inclusive learning environments. Surrounding this is the Design Justice Framework, Constanza Chonk 2018, which ensures that the benefits and burdens of design are equitably distributed. The outermost layer is cultural justice, Fraser, 2005, highlighting the importance of recognizing diverse cultural perspectives in educational practices. This framework illustrates our commitment to fostering equity through a holistic, justice-centered approach to design and learning.
Considering UDL in the Global South context, Universal Design for Learning is a framework initially developed by the Center for Applied Special Technology, or CAST, to provide a blueprint for a learning design process that will be equitable and inclusive. Mackenzie and Dalton, 2020. Since its conception, UDL has been utilized as an increasingly popular framework in the education sector of countries in North America and Europe. Mackenzie and Dalton, 2020. The UDL framework is built on the three pillars of, open quote, representation, action and expression, and engagement, end quote. Mackenzie and Dalton, 2020, page 4. These three principles are based on areas in the brain responsible for recognition, strategy, and effect. Mackenzie and Dalton, 2020. They emphasize student diversity by advocating for multiple and appropriate forms of representation, action and expression, and engagement when designing a learning experience. Mackenzie and Dalton, 2020. The principle of multiple means of representation refers to providing students with various ways of accessing learning material and the learning process. Practically, this can mean providing transcripts of voice recordings or videos or making infographics with alternative text on the content available to be accessible to students who are auditorily or visually impaired. Providing students with multiple means of action and expression will create opportunities for students to convey what they have learned in diverse ways. For instance, this can mean that some students will be assessed using a traditional written examination, while others may opt for an oral examination. Finally, multiple means of engagement in UDL refers to how students learn and interact with the course material. By providing different methods of engagement, a more diverse range of students can be included in the learning experience. UDL has become a central tenet in many North American and European HE institutions, where it is positioned as a paradigm for inclusivity that is premised on principles of sustainability. Fauvert, 2020. This, in turn, allows for a reduced burden on accessibility services, as the needs of students can be addressed in the classroom itself, and can also lower the total expense while still revolutionizing how we perceive education. These strong claims made about UDL motivated the writing of this section, which critically examines the successes of the implementation of UDL and addresses some of the barriers to learning that UDL unwittingly fails to consider.
UDL in the Global South. Since its inception, much has been written about UDL, with most of the research centered on North America and Europe, respectively. Che and Robertson, 2021, Forbett, 2020, Allison et al., 2019. As UDL gains greater attention as a paramount inclusion in educational policy and practice, the need to understand how it is utilized in context outside the regions mentioned above becomes more crucial. As a result, this section explores the application of UDL in the Global South. The Global South broadly refers to regions of Africa, Asia, Latin America, and Oceania. There is a recognition that UDL has the potential to engage students, improve social inclusion, lead to higher achievement outcomes, and reduce the risk of stigma for marginalized students, including those with disabilities. Almumen, 2020, Lurie et al., 2017, McKay, 2019. The UDL framework recognizes the individuality of learners and can facilitate more collaborative approaches and increase digital inclusion if the support structures are implemented that enhance equity and accessibility. UDL's features of openness, flexibility, and foresight can enlighten teaching and learning practice, moving the focus of teaching methods from the curriculum and text to the needs of and relevance to the learners. Much like the broader concept of inclusive education, UDL has been adopted as a way better to integrate learners with disabilities into the academic mainstream. Additionally, more focus is placed on the use of technology. Perspectives from the Global South appears to be breaking from this trend as they focus on how UDL can be used to enhance education and accessibility of all students, considering the barriers and different ways it can be applied. For example, Chiandere 2019 explored how established UDL principles inform higher education curricula in South Africa, while Alazayi, Paslo, and Landvest 2017 studied the direct application of UDL to strengthen e-learning acceptance at an institution in Iraq. Kara, Hayes, and Forhead 2020 posited that should educators in Ghana start receiving training in UDL, improved academic performance and a reduction in the stigma around people with disabilities may be seen. Cheng and Chao 2019 share a similar sentiment and suggest that autonomy and expressiveness that UDL seeks to cultivate may boost Chinese education. However, the way it is currently being implemented is still deeply rooted in the instructor's pedagogy, indicating that instructors still need further support to change their traditional teaching philosophy and better utilize UDL technologies. Across the literature, it is evident that the application of a UDL framework has generally failed to recognize the unequal power relations between the Global North and the Global South. Forward 2020, Gretsch 2011, Miles and Singal 2010, Song 2017. In low and middle income countries, LMICs, there has been a limited amount of scholarship on UDL, and UDL experts and authors could be criticized for disregarding these geopolitical aspects of education. Benton, Kenny, 2022. It is of utmost importance that the movement cultivates a culture where concepts such as power, privilege, and post-colonialism are critically examined and critiqued.
The future of UDL in HE depends on the discourse consistently identifying the Global North, Global South divide and focusing more on embedding and magnifying perspectives from the South. Fovert 2020. There are significant barriers to implementing the UDL framework in the Global South. These include large class sizes, lack of resources, and lack of staff awareness regarding inclusive design. Ferguson et al. 2019, Marie 2015, Song 2016. A shortage of support professionals to guide educators in adapting their teaching inaccessible environments and an absence of effective screening and identification services exacerbate academic exclusion and implementation of interventions such as incorporating UDL into the teaching and learning space. McKenzie et al. 2021.
Additionally, from our own experiences as education technology advisors, ETAs, it is evident that some of educators may resist using UDL. For example, promoting accessibility and diverse learning environment is associated with a higher workload. One of the goals of UDL is to create expert learners. Rosen et al. 2021, in other words, allowing learners to be the champion of their learning process. Finally, there are other barriers that are barely addressed in the UDL guidelines. These are barriers that are faced by students who have been excluded, marginalized, or diminished because of their skin color, language, ethnicity, gender, and/or sexual orientation. There is plenty of evidence that suggests students facing barriers and low expectations. However, there is little evidence that the UDL guidelines are either relevant or attentive to these kinds of identity barriers they face. Cranfield, Frakes et al. 2017, Rosen et al. 2021. A scoping review by McKenzie et al. 2021 highlighted that the UDL applications in LMICs tend not to utilize an intersectional lens well enough. For example, disability, gender, race, and socioeconomic status are not examined in consideration of each other. Implementation of UDL. The COVID-19 lockdown pushed education sectors across the world move teaching and learning to online platforms. The University of Cape Town, UCT, was no exception, as it encountered many challenges during this pivot to emergency remote teaching and learning. The UCT Center for Innovation in Learning and Teaching, CILT, recognized that there was a gap in translating educational content into accessible online learning.
As a part of a redesigning blended courses project in 2020, 8 postgraduate students from various backgrounds were appointed to the roles of ETAs. The primary task of ETAs was to support teaching staff to design inclusive, digitally enabled education with a UDL-centered approach strategically aligned with UCT's Vision 2030. Recent findings suggest that the situatedness of those designing courses and curricula fundamentally affects the course release to students. Adam 2020. ETAs were considered to be well-equipped to promote accessible and inclusive learning and teaching environments and materials because they are students and are more likely to understand the challenges that students may face. The ETAs underwent 2 weeks of training where they learned about inclusivity and accessibility in relation to blended course design. Further topics covered were on student diversity and learning needs in HE, UDL, accessibility, disability, and guidelines for accessible curriculum and educational content design, with reference to relevant tools and multimedia.
This chapter's 4 authors formed part of the ETH cohort. We hail from a diverse set of background academically: disability studies, public health, education, and anthropology, and personally in terms of race, gender, sexuality, ability, and disability. All of us had been students during a time of significant change in South African higher education, punctuated by movements such as Rhodes Must Fall 2015, Fees Must Fall 2016-2018, and the gender-based violence protest of 2018 and 2019.
Our primary role as ETAs was to offer support to teaching staff to create inclusive, accessible, and multimedia-rich learning materials and activities based on UDL principles and web content accessibility guidelines, WCAG. These efforts aim to enhance student access and inclusion in blended courses for improved student learning outcomes. This entailed working with lecturers and learning designers to ensure that any materials produced for learning complied with UDL and accessibility standards. Our experience as ETAs. In general, using UDL as a framework with a broader design justice approach was valuable in realigning focus on the diversity of our students in the university. Rather than creating a one-size-fits-all learning experience, this approach to UDL has allowed us to design different learning pathways. As noted earlier, the three core principles upon which the UDL framework is built are the principles of representation, action, and expression, and engagement. McKenzie and Dalton, 2020. In our roles as ETAs, we ensured multiple means of engagement for students by providing video recordings of lectures with closed captions, which were accompanied by transcriptions of the lectures. This allowed students to choose whether they would want to listen to the recording or read through the transcript. Another way in which engagement was fostered was by ensuring a streamlined design of the learning pathway on the Learning Management System, or LMS, including detailed instructional text for all learning activities. This approach was especially helpful in supporting student engagement in short educational courses, as many students were unfamiliar with online learning. A more straightforward design allowed for easier site navigation. In disciplines such as accounting and health sciences, a checklist of learning outcomes was included at the end of each topic, encouraging students to engage with the content systematically. This was particularly helpful in a content-heavy discipline like accounting and self-paced courses for working students in the health sciences, promoting self-regulatory skills. The UDL principle of multiple means of representation was accomplished by providing students with an array of text, audio, and visual representations of content. In some health sciences courses, infographics were created to simplify complex concepts. These infographics include alternative text for students using screen readers. Another visual enhancement added to course sites was introducing each topic with a flowchart, summarizing the learning pathway for each topic. Each topic was also introduced with an introductory video, open bracket, with closed captions, closed bracket, to give students a broad overview and the necessary background knowledge. ETAs from the science disciplines were especially adept at providing a student's perspective on what constitutes a conducive learning pathway, with one ETA creating such a user-friendly learning pathway for chemistry courses that they have been asked to provide the same treatment to the other chemistry courses at UCT. In addition, the two ETAs in the education discipline provided theoretically grounded perspectives on improving students' learning experiences. Multiple means of action and expression were enacted in various ways. First, several options for the physical act of responding to content were created. For instance, in using the comment tool on the LMS, students were able to post a written response, an audio or video clip, or a pictorial reply. Other tools in the LMS, such as the forum tool, allowed students to post their responses in diverse media. Additional communication tools were also incorporated, such as Padlet and Twitter. Student expression was also guided by prompting questions on the content, helping to ensure meaningful engagement and expression. The implementation of all three main principles of UDL using a design justice approach is perhaps best exemplified by a first-year course in the humanities that one of the chapter's authors worked on. This course was well designed and extremely inclusive. The class comprised of over 100 students, the majority of whom were from low-income communities and were isiXhosa first language speakers. This course was designed to make the segue into academic writing, reading, and speaking easier. Keeping the demographic composition of the class in mind, the course convener worked with the tutors to ensure that the course outline and instructional texts were provided in both English and isiXhosa. The tutors also created WhatsApp groups for their tutorial groups to check in with their students. Students who struggled with internet connectivity could conduct their tutorial discussions over WhatsApp. These actions helped to ensure that students were supported in terms of language. Open bracket, UDL guidelines checkpoint 2.4. Promote understanding across language, close bracket, but also help to ensure no students fell through the cracks by communicating with students through a less formal platform such as WhatsApp. This flexibility in learning methods, open bracket, which is in line with UDL guidelines checkpoint 5.1, use multiple media for communication, close bracket, help to ensure student success for students who may otherwise have fallen through the cracks because of their lack of connectivity and ability to connect with tutors and classmates. Key insights based on our experiences implementing UDL with a focus on design justice. Throughout this project, we realized that a design justice-focused implementation of UDL is complex and requires resources and sufficient time for planning and implementation. In terms of engagement, we noticed that an overemphasis on providing multiple pathways of engagement through many online activities could cause students to become overwhelmed and lose engagement. Another issue encountered was a lack of digital literacy from students, which inhibited meaningful engagement as students struggled to access many of the representations of content. Here, time and budget constraints also played a role. For instance, a visually impaired student had issues with accessibility in one course. Many concessions had to be provided manually, such as providing alternative text to graphics in the reading material or manually creating transcripts of video resources. This proved to be time-consuming. In addition, the physical action of expression proved challenging to some students, like accessing forum discussions or comment sections. Without allocating sufficient time and resources to developing competency in a UDL-adapted curriculum, the framework will fail due to the increased pressures and frictions that arise from adopting different pedagogies too rapidly. Undertaking this work required awareness of challenges within our specific Global South context. Not all students have access to technology or home environment conducive to studying. Approaches that minimize educational inequality in a digitally enabled education must be taken. The challenge of promoting equitable education is further exacerbated by the growing diversity of the student body and resource inequalities. In the South African HE sector, resource inequalities have been at the forefront of the discussion through movements such as #FeesMustFall, and even more recently during emergency remote teaching because of the digital divide becoming even starker. Chernovich et al. 2020. For example, the cost of data in our context may prevent students from completing online learning activities such as quizzes and polls. Another challenge we encountered was that while there was an intention to design courses that promoted accessibility and inclusion, there was room for improvement in the implementation of these guidelines in course design. Under the UDL principle of multiple means of action and expression, one checkpoint highlights the need to develop executive functions such as goal setting, strategy development, and management of resources and information. This guideline is something we, as the ETA team, must consider. Hence, when designing courses on the LMS, the ETAs and broader learning design team included checklists on each lesson page so students could tick off tasks and thus measure their progress through the course. A significant challenge for one of our ETAs, who is visually impaired, was the lack of accessibility to build content on the LMS. The site is also often inaccessible for students depending on assistive devices for learning. Another challenge faced by one of our authors was the lack of sufficient time to build a first-year archaeology site. This course focused heavily on the UDL principle of multiple means of action and expression, so there were many activities and exercises for the students to do. The setting up of these activities and exercises took a great deal of time because it required the creation of activity resources, such as images for the students to sort through. The setting up of such a course is highly beneficial for online students, as it allows for options for physical action and is visually engaging. However, a total of 3 students registered for the course. While the content is valuable and can be reused in the future, it would have been more practical to design the course with fewer activities to suit a smaller class size, as some of the activities may have been better suited to a larger group of students. Our hope is that by identifying these challenges, barriers to inclusive education for all can be recognized and removed. Principles of UDL to take forward in HE for good. In line with the core focus of this book, Higher Education for Good, we consider two questions in relation to our UDL project at UCT. What does learning for good look like? How could we reimagine higher education futures for good? The COVID-19 pandemic revealed multiple alternative teaching and learning futures. As a result of COVID-19 restrictions, universities had to adopt remote teaching strategies, which involved lecturers recording themselves teaching and adapting their teaching approaches and resources to be suitable for online use. The unanticipated pivot to remote online teaching and learning, at least in our UCT context, encouraged design approaches to accommodate different ways of knowledge being consumed and created. However, these futures are still not yet realized, as we have gleaned through our dual roles as both students and ETAs. As we have discussed throughout this chapter, this process of transition between different teaching and learning modalities is difficult and uncomfortable. After teaching in person on campus for many years, it was uncomfortable for lecturers who were being asked to teach online, often from their homes. It was uncomfortable for students who were trying to study and attend online lectures from home environments, which may have not been conducive to studying for several reasons. Also, it was uncomfortable because this shift to online learning requires more time, effort, and resources than the way teaching had traditionally been undertaken. Thus, a key theme that kept emerging when discussing our role was that of finding comfort in discomfort. How could we ease the discomfort during the transformation of pedagogical spaces such as the classroom? We observed discomfort arise at many different intersections for students, teaching staff, and support staff. In addition to the personal toll of the pandemic, all of these groups were experiencing heavy workloads, digital fatigue, and uncertainty, socially, economically, and politically. When considering teaching and learning futures, we must remember that we cannot return to the world as it was before, United Nations 2020. The educational disruption caused by the pandemic has far-reaching consequences that we still do not fully understand. To prevent this crisis from causing further harm, it requires us to be resilient, not just as individuals, but systematically. The United Nations 2020 highlighted the importance of building resilient education systems that can respond to immediate challenges, but are also able to cope with unknown future crises. They emphasize that this can be made possible by focusing not just on access, but also on inclusion and equity. To build resilient educational systems that can accommodate unforeseen changes, we need more than just technology. We need to share resources and teachings, reflect on past practices and consider how we can improve. And perhaps most importantly, we need to do all of this with care and compassion. We are still at significant risk of creating a negative feedback loop of losing students through means of exclusion and a lack of accommodation. So how can we design and ensure alternative, inclusive, digitally enabled HE futures in which all students are encouraged and supported to reach their full learning potential? We have three recommendations taken from our experiences on how this future can be successfully achieved.
Number one, student and faculty collaboration. An essential requirement under the UDL guideline of engagement is fostering community and collaboration. This does not simply apply to learners, but it applies to all involved in teaching and learning spaces. As ETAs, we can attest from our own experience that the building of course sites is a collaborative task. There are many checks and balances in place when a course is being built. In our case, a course is usually built by an ETA who is supervised and assisted by a learning designer. Academic staff provide the content for the course and are there to offer feedback on the build and usability of the site. This process goes back and forth until both parties are happy. The whole process is overseen by a head learning designer who oversees the coordination of many courses within a discipline or faculty. Learning designers and educational technologists can teach lecturers how to engage students in online discussions to support learning. They can also collaborate with lecturers to determine how to best use technology for teaching and how to make the most of online/blended learning. Holden and Valetianos 2020. Number 2. Focus on strategy, planning, and resources for inclusive design. It is essential to remember that successful online education is not just about giving students information and expecting them to learn it. Ensuring that a digitally enabled education is accessible and inclusive requires careful planning and intelligent design. Such planning must take place at the conceptual level of course design to ensure that courses include rather than accommodate others into the learning process. Based on our own experience, we found attending webinars and events about UDL and accessible education most valuable. This allowed us to learn from other educators and practitioners in the space about how they design and plan inclusive educational resources and content. Three of the authors of this chapter presented at a webinar panel titled Promoting UDL Principles and Strategies for Inclusive Learning, the Redesigning Blended Courses Project at the University of Cape Town, hosted by Include and UCT in September 2021. Presenting on this panel provided a platform for us as ETAs to share our experiences with others from the different higher educational institutions in other parts of the world who are also trying to implement UDL in their settings. More importantly, this webinar allowed us to learn from other attendees and improved how we implement UDL. We also found attending other webinars hosted by other universities, such as the Digitally Enhanced Education webinars from the University of Kent, to be particularly useful. We also noted that when learning about educational strategies in the Global North, some recommendations would have to be adapted to suit our local context in the Global South. Number 3. Share resources and strategies. Institutions of higher education should prioritize internal departmental collaboration as well as external collaboration with other higher education institutions. These collaborations will ensure that departments and institutions benefit from each other's experiences. Within the SILT department, we hosted a weekly academic reading group, which included both students and staff. These weekly sessions allowed for mutual learning and teaching between these two groups. These reading groups provided a forum for both groups to talk their way into and around scholarly topics, which allowed us to become familiar with discipline-specific terminology. As we were exposed to more literature, we were able to engage with various interpretations and approaches to educational pedagogy. Reading groups provide a great way for us to work with texts in the company of others, thus deepening our collective knowledge of scholarship on topics like UDL, social justice, and blended learning, as well as, open bracket, importantly, close bracket, how we practice them. Thompson, 2021. Furthermore, the integration of open education resources, or OER, needs to be made an imperative. In collaborating and utilizing OERs, more readily, a practice of accessible information unhindered by physical and socioeconomic barriers becomes more of a reality. Butcher, 2015. These are beneficial strategies developed in one course. If these strategies could be shared with different departments at the university, others may benefit and ultimately help other students and teaching staff who may face a similar predicament.
Conclusion. The traditional pedagogical approach of one size fits all cannot meet learner diversity in a contemporary academic milieu. As the student population in higher education continues to diversify and the delivery of teaching changes, face-to-face, online, and blended, it is imperative to design curricula that effectively supports and promotes diversity and equity. UDL guidelines advocate for an inclusive instructional approach by minimizing barriers and maximizing learning for all students. University students can directly benefit from two major aspects of UDL: A, its emphasis on a flexible curriculum, and B, the inclusion of a variety of instructional practices, materials, and learning activities. UDL is an educational framework that effectively supports university lecturers and learning designers in designing and developing curricula that are accessible to as many diverse learners as possible. In this chapter, you have demonstrated as ETAs at UCT how Design Justice and UDL frameworks helped us to guide and support lecturers and learning designers as they attempt, during the COVID-19 pandemic and the overnight pivot, to untangle the social justice issues which surround online learning initiatives. We have also adopted decolonial theory as a lens to critically examine the practicability of UDL in shaping academic discourse from the Global South context. This contributes to the ongoing debates on transformation and inclusive pedagogies in the Global South. We conclude that UDL is a practical framework which can promote accessibility and include diversity if applied with a design justice lens. While the UDL framework cannot be treated as a catch-all solution to the challenges faced in higher education institutions, especially those in the Global South, UDL has shown enough promise globally that it is likely to be part of this solution. The use of UDL in a context in which its limitations and challenges are recognized will still provide means to create a truly equitable solution for the accessibility challenges within the Global South. Reflections within the Global South, like the experience of the authors of this chapter, have taken the theory of UDL and put it into practice. These provide a real way forward for UDL in the Global South and a new, more inclusive future of education. In doing so, we can start to ensure that the issue of education exclusion is less pronounced and we move ever closer to true social justice. Acknowledgements. Our chapter describes our experiences as education technology advisors at the University of Cape Town. However, telling the story would not have been possible without the support of several key individuals. Firstly, a big thank you to the editors, Catherine and Laura, for giving us the opportunity to be a part of this wonderful project. We are also most grateful to Noctula Vilakati, Cheryl Hodgkinson-Williams, and the SILT team at UCT for their unwavering support. It has been incredible to be a part of a broader project where young scholars such as ourselves are encouraged to contribute to the reimagining of higher education futures with patience, kindness, and generosity. And lastly, thank you, dear reader, for wanting to reimagine a different higher education future alongside us.